Our God and Father, we're here on this Sunday morning, Lord. You gave us a beautiful day. It's the first race for the year, and we're all excited to be out riding, but we're also excited to come and worship you. We thank you so much that you allow us to come before you and that you'd minister to us. Lord, as I get ready to teach the sermon, I just ask that you speak through me and let everybody here get something out of this that they can use in the days and years to come. We just thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen. As always, you know, you've heard me say this before, those of you that know me, I like going back to basics. You know, basics are always important to me. And what I want to talk about is just, I want to talk about Jesus, just plain and simple. Where did he come from? I mean, a lot of people, you know Jesus. There's no doubt that Jesus lived. I mean, that is a proven fact in history. There's no doubt that he was crucified. That's a proven fact in history. But where did he come from? Well, I want to just read a little bit of scripture here. And it starts, let me get to the beginning. I'm trying this tablet instead of paper. I'm not sure if this is going to work out too good. But we'll see. Okay, this is out of Matthew 1:18 through 25. I want to just read that. And it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit." Now, Mary knew this was going to happen. She knew she was going to get pregnant. And the reason she knew it is because an angel of the Lord visited her and spoke to her at night and told her that this was going to happen. And she accepted it. So here's Joseph. You know, he's getting ready to marry this girl. And she comes up pregnant. Now, back in the old days, that was a really, really big deal. You know, nowadays people make kind of light of that. But you know, all of a sudden she's pregnant. He's like, wow, what am I going to do now? Well, let's see what he decided to do. It says, "Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." So he's like, well, the Jewish weddings were a little different than it is now. And they were already pledged to one another, basically like they were married, but they weren't really together. I'm not quite sure. I don't totally understand that, but... But he's like, no, we're not going to do the final commitment to this marriage. I'm just going to divorce her right now, and you know, I'm going to do it quietly. That way, it's not going to make her look bad, but this is not going to work. But let's read some more. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.'" Now, you know, we've all had dreams, and some dreams are just, you know, stuff that we come up with, and then there's dreams of God. I don't know how many people ever had God speak to them in a dream. I don't think that's something normal that happens every day, but I think when it does happen, you're going to know it. I don't think you're going to sit there and go, I'm not sure about this. I think you'll be 100% certain that God was talking to you. And I think this is what happened with Joseph here. Now, even at that, I still think he could have said, no, I don't think I'm going to buy into this. It's no different than people today not wanting to believe in Jesus. Now, he could have said, I don't see how Mary could have got pregnant that way, and I'm just not going to buy it. But he luckily didn't do that. Now, he said, okay, that's no problem. So when he woke up, here's what happened. When Joseph woke up, He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So he did go ahead and go through with the final commitment of the marriage, and he took her home. And they stayed separated till she had the baby. Now, why do you suppose God did it like that? I mean, couldn't Jesus have come on a big chariot or, you know, these big old stallions and all this cool stuff? Why did he come as a baby to this earth? And, you know, why did he live here for 30-some years and then allowed himself to be crucified and, you know, hung on a cross? Well, I think the first part, and, you know, you can look at different commentaries. There's opinions on it. But in my opinion, Jesus wanted to see firsthand, 100%, what we go through. He came as a baby. He lived here. He went through the same things that you and I went through, 100%. And the growing up, the playing with other kids, the getting teased. You know, he may even got bullied once or twice. And, you know, he went through everything. He went through all the temptations that we go through. And I mean, he firsthand experienced that. Now, being that Jesus is also God, he knew what was going to happen. But it's no different than talking about motocross. You might know 100% what it is, but till you actually ride it, it's just a little different when you actually do it. And I think it's no different there. He came as a person. Not as God. He came as a person to this world, and he lived it just like we do. Now, the one big difference between Jesus and us is he was able to do it sinless. Now, that's just, to me, is awesome when you think about that he did it without committing sin. Because when you think about, like, little kids, you know, they lie to you without you teaching them. Did you take that? No, I didn't. I mean, you're supposed to do this. Did you do this? Yes, I did, even so they didn't. I mean, it just comes natural. And Jesus went through his whole life and never committed a sin. That's pretty awesome. But what good is it? I mean, why? What good did that do, the fact that he lived and never committed a sin and all that? Well, we've all heard the story. You know, when he started his ministry in his 30s, he ministered for a couple, 3 years. He allowed himself to be hung on a cross for sins he did not commit. And no sins that he allowed himself to get crucified for are our sins. The ones we've done, the ones we will do, the ones in the past, before him, I mean future. All those sins, he paid for them by dying on the cross. And because he lived a perfect life, his sacrifice was enough to pay for all those sins. That is totally amazing. But why would God want to do that? I mean, God is made up of God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three entities, but they're one. That's a little hard for us to wrap ourselves around. Now, how can three persons be one? Well, it's almost like a corporation, but in just a little bit further. They are 100% in sync on everything they do. And that's how Jesus, as God, could come to this earth. But why did they do it? And there's one more verse I want to read, and I'm sure most of you have heard this one 100 times, and it's out of John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." You know, that last verse is so important. You know, we always have this idea that God's sitting up there just waiting for us to mess up and pounce on us. Oh, you did this, I won't get you for this. You did this, I won't get you for this. And, you know, I don't think it is. I think it's more like he's sitting there going, man, I don't want him to do that. I want him to, man, listen to me. I'm going to whisper in your ear that you don't have to do this. That way you do right rather than wrong. He's not wanting to beat us up. He wants us to be able to be with him in eternity. Well, so I got to work my way there? No, there's nothing you can do to make yourself good enough to go to heaven. Because sin is sin, and sin keeps us out of heaven. But you heard me say earlier that Jesus allowed himself to be crucified, and the fact that he did that paid for all our sins. Well, it paid for all of them, just like I said. And the awesome part, he got crucified, but he also was resurrected 3 days later. He was born again. And with what he did, we can be born again. All he's asking for us to do is to believe the fact that he paid the price. And because he paid the price, if we believe that he did that, we will be saved. And, you know, being saved may not mean that much to you right this second, because you're obviously not ready to die today, when we don't know when that happens. But there will be a time when that happens. And then you're going to be glad you did that. But the other part, being a Christian is not always easy, because all of a sudden you have choices that are more important to you than they were before. You know, the right and wrongs all of a sudden are more, a lot plainer to you, because all of a sudden you know what you should do and what you shouldn't. So, you know, you get up in the morning, it's like, well, what do I do? Okay, I can do this, and I know God loves this, or I can do this. Heinz loves this. So do I do what God loves, or do I do what Heinz loves? Well, hopefully I do what God loves, and because he loves it, I have fun doing it too. But it doesn't always work. Sometimes we end up doing things we don't want to do because he asks us to, and we do it. But, you know, the end result still is we are saved because of what Jesus did. So he came to this earth, and in my mind, he came here to experience everything we did. That way he is 100% in sync with us. He gave us the example on how we should live, and that's how we should try to live. But that's not what saves us. What saves us is the fact that we believe in him, and believing that he paid that price, and because of that, we get to go to heaven. By grace we have been saved, is what it says. And that is just totally awesome. So I hope that everybody here today that can hear this has already done that. And if you haven't, if there's still doubt in your mind, seek it out in the Bible or talk to somebody that you know that knows Jesus where they can explain it to you better. I would not want you to say a prayer like that lightly and just, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Well, it's easier said than done. And once you do it, the Holy Spirit helps you in the walk. You don't have to do it by yourself. But it's real easy to say a prayer and not mean it. You got to mean it from the bottom of your heart. And that's the point I want to make this morning. Get to know Jesus. Get to understand who he is. And then make a decision for him. And your life will never be the same. With that, I'd like to close. Dear Father God, we just thank you so much that you were willing to come to this earth as Jesus. You sent your son, the second person of the Trinity, to come here. To live on this earth. Jesus, you lived here. You died for us. You went through everything we go through. And you proved that it can be done. So we just thank you so much right now. So, Father, touch every person here that doesn't know Jesus. Draw them to him. Only you can do it. All I can do is say these words. I can't draw anybody, but you can. And we just thank you so much for that. And I know their life will never be the same. We thank you for that. As we get ready to go racing, thank you for the beautiful day, the beautiful weather, and just keep us all safe and do it for your glory as always. In Jesus' name, amen.